Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a story of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and soul awareness. I am delighted to welcome Michael Peter Langevin, author of Secrets of the Ancient Incas and Amazon Shamans. And Michael is a visionary publicist, and he befriends shamans, magicians, holy men, and gifted psychics. And with his wife, Sophia Karen Axelson, operates their own public relations company. Hello, Michael, and thank you for joining us today on Healing From Within.
Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. It's great to be with you.
Michael, I'm sure you're aware, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I explore the seen and unseen world of energy life and share experiences as we try to discover more about our human destiny and increase our spiritual awareness in order to create or manifest better lives and to improve our world by developing greater compassion, hope, and love, and faith, and trust in a larger universal plan. In today's
episode, I can't feel more aligned.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's beautiful.
But that's okay. And isn't it the truth? I was thinking, as you just said, that those words may just be words, but really, they're the whole ball of wax to knowing ourselves better. Right. But in today's it's a whole way of knowing yourself. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we're going to explore the transformation of consciousness, a spiritual awakening perhaps, and maybe see the next step in evolution. And an essential part of this awakening consists in transcending our ego-based state of consciousness, what some people think is their real life, and to go to another state of awareness of life on many levels. This is a prerequisite not only for personal happiness, but also for the ending of violent conflict endemic on our planet. So, Michael, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and to remember a person, a place, maybe an event, where you or others around you became aware of certain spiritual gifts or interests, and if as an adult you are still on a similar path of discovery. So thank you.
Sure, Cheryl, I'd love
back.
To.
Yeah, good.
My father and my grandfather were both funeral directors. So I had the honor of growing up around a funeral home and cemeteries and dead bodies and seeing ghosts very early on in my life. That sets one on a path of knowing that there's more to the world than the material world. I was blessed in the second grade to have an amazing teacher who was the head of the Theosophical Society of Boston. And she took a special interest in me. And we remained friends until she died 5 years ago. And she always was there to answer my spiritual questions as I went through my own spiritual unfolding. I had the honor when in college of taking courses in Salem, Massachusetts with the Witches of Salem and exploring their path of magic and ritual and ceremony. And then when I was in my fourth year of college, I went to Peru and had visions and experiences that were beyond my even guessing at, that allowed me to go back to Latin America many times and meet many shamans and holy people and elders. I did Magical Blend magazine, which allowed me to speak to the New Age leaders of our time, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, Doreen Dyer. And now my wife and I publish a magazine called The Echo World here in Virginia that does the same thing. It explores spiritual reality, self-improvement, all the things you speak of at the beginning of your show. So I'd say lots of early childhood experiences and still there today.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I was what they would call a sensitive child. And also, I saw energy and felt energy and didn't know how to explain it to anyone and was a little frightened by it as a child. And when I was about 8, I heard a big noise and I ran to the window and I saw a man jumping out of a truck, and I was so glad he got out and he was okay, right? But later I found out that he had died. And what I had seen was his spirit leaving, and I didn't put it together for a very long time. You see, we were born with a higher soul propensity. Let's say everybody has this ability.
Everybody has it.
But
Right. Everybody has, some of us are just gifted with the with being able to see things earlier.
Or just because it's going to be part of their life journey or destiny
Yes.
to grow to help people in this way. But it took me a long time to put it together. I wasn't lucky enough to have a second grade teacher like you did
She was amazing. Lottie
who nailed
Hackett.
you.
She was the salt of the earth.
And that's great.
Everyone should have a mentor like that.
And I'm so happy to hear that. But tell us something about your wife, Sophia Karen Axelson.
I was, what was it now, 5 years ago? God, it doesn't seem that long. I was traveling in Latin America again, and I got on a bus in Cusco to go to Lake Puno, on Lake Titicaca. And the only seat left, I was the last person on the bus, was next to this attractive woman, and we made conversation for 5 hours. I found out she was from Sweden, and she had written books on Nordic magic and Nordic gods and goddesses and the runes, and we were in love.
Well, it must be wonderful to find someone who's so passionate about similar goals. And do you think
It was
it,
amazing.
let me ask you something. Was that a coincidence, you
I
think?
don't think so. I think it was predestined on many levels. And
Absolutely.
we courted for 2 years over the internet. She came to visit me. We traveled in Mexico, and when I got when I was offered a good position here in Virginia 3 years ago, I took the position and I called her up and asked her to marry me. And she said yes and came and joined me here in Virginia of all places. And
Well,
I
Virginia
gave her.
happens to have a lot of spiritual energy because I interview a
Amazing.
lot of people from there. So there must be something with the energy and the
It
people,
really
the
is.
metaphysicians that are, settling there and working there. So I think that's very interesting. And
It
let's.
is the Charlottesville area, where Central Virginia is basically considered the Charlottesville area. We publish the Echo World magazine, and it explores the alternative voices of the new age of spirituality, of alternative health and the environment. And it turns out that there's so many people that, like us, were unexpectedly attracted here. It feels like there's some amazing energies going on
Yeah,
here.
I went to a spiritual retreat in Charlottesville, Virginia, with Dr. Vernon Silvest. He was an author who I interviewed, and when he sent me an invitation to come on a weekend there, I went on two planes, and one of those little prop planes,
Oh, yeah.
that was
Floppy
a
hat,
little
okay.
uncomfortable for me, but I did it anyhow, and I had a very amazing experience. And Kubler-Ross was also, she owned this place, Healing Waters, before Vernon Silvest, and I felt drawn to go there
Yeah,
and be in the location.
there's many amazing institutes here. There's the Monroe Institute, the Synchronicity Institute. There's Buddhist temples. There's Yogaville. It's not California, but it's got a lot of spiritual things happening.
Well, I kind of think the guides have me here in New York, which is a kind of difficult energy for a person like me, but I guess they
There's
think
a need.
I can handle it. And
That's
so.
it. I grew up in Boston, and talking about this kind of thing that we're talking about in Boston was quite a challenge.
Yes.
So when I eventually moved to California, it was so refreshing to have people just say, yes, of course.
But it's okay. We're where we're supposed to be. to
That's it.
continue to
That's it.
learn, shift our own energy, and help the world to advance and evolve. Let's go on to tell us about one of your books, Secret of Ancient Incas, and how you became interested in shamanic work and study.
I was in college and I was studying political science and I kind of wanted to be Che Guevara. So I took a course in Latin American politics, and the professor had just gotten back from a summer traveling through Latin America. And when she spoke about Peru, I got this otherworldly tingle up my spine. By the
Right.
time the semester was over, I didn't have enough money to take a round-trip ticket from Boston to Cusco, so I hitchhiked down to Miami and bought a round-trip ticket. And when I landed in Cusco, I had $30 left in my pocket. And I told myself I was going to stay there as long as I can make the $30 last. Well, the joy of it is that Peruvian people live from their hearts, and they're so giving and they're so generous. And I got an experience of seeing all the major landmarks in Peru and living in houses and having meals with the local people who were fascinated that a dumb gringo was down there with no money.
Yeah,
And
you know what amazes me, Michael? You know, the people are in these natural societies and Latin American societies, very open and loving, and their politicians and their governments, unfortunately, have a lot of
don't represent them well.
corruption. No, don't
Yeah, no,
represent the general
it's such
tone
a
of the
shame. Yeah.
life that they are trying to live. And I'm always a little confused by that myself,
Well,
but that's a
yeah, we're
big
not supposed to
question.
understand the mysteries of the material world, I don't think. We're supposed to keep walking through them and doing our best.
With
But
trust,
while
I
I was
think we're supposed to keep walking towards our higher vision of life and its beauty, and maybe that eventually will alter some of the other nonsense that goes on. But
Oh, it
I
is.
want to ask
They're
you a
all right.
question about,
Yes.
you mentioned a healing ceremony called the death ritual, or another one, the
Yes.
intensity of the ayahuasca ritual.
Yes.
Tell us
Both of them.
something about that.
After my first trip down there and having visions in Machu Picchu, I couldn't go get down there more often enough. Once I graduated college, I would work a job, save up my money, and go down for 2 or 3 months at a time, and seek out shamans. And then eventually I got to travel a good part of the Amazon, and meeting shamans. And ayahuasca is one of the many hallucinogenic plants that are used by the shamans as a doorway to expanded realities. It's not LSD. It's much more in harmony with nature and much more of a purging of our negative energies and allowing us for us to rise to the higher astral planes. I was in many ceremonies with shamans using ayahuasca and San Pedro cactus and ginseng weed and a number of other substances. And with a good shaman who's true to his trainings, you actually pierce the veil and you go into other worlds. I had one ayahuasca trip where I was with a friend whose son was deathly ill, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with him and thought that he would die before too long. And the father was a friend of mine and had come down to take the trip with me, we told the shaman, and the shaman guided us, and we went out into the astral, and we went to the son's hospital, and my friend picked a blue feather out of nowhere and handed it to his son on the dream world, and then we came back, and when we came out of the trance, so to speak, my friend said, "I think that was what my son needed." The next day, he called his wife, and his wife said, "It's the most amazing thing. Our son woke up with a story of you handing him a blue feather, and the doctor says he's all better, and they don't know how it happened." I mean, those kind of
Well,
miracles
yeah, they're
are
miracles
possible.
all the time. There are so many
That's
miracles going on all the time. Now, I'm glad that I didn't need to use any of those stimuli to develop my ability to go into meditation and receive a downloading of information and help from spirit. And I'm an intuitive healer and a medium. And,
I don't think they're for everyone's path. I don't
right.
advise most people to use drugs. But if you're going to study the Latin American shamanistic path,
Then you
they
will.
tend to be than you tend to. And I see them more as a way for that I was able to develop reference points in expanded reality and other realities that I wouldn't have had or wasn't able to get to in this reality, and now I can go back to without the use of it.
Yeah, you're right. Any way we're guided is the right way, but I'm so glad to have the experience to transcend this limited view of life into a higher, state of being. Michael, you wrote something very nice. You wrote, "An invisible web of life connects everything in existence. Westerners often lose sight of this, but in the Amazon, it's easy to remember because its presence is so visceral. Amazon shamans know that while reason is a useful tool, intuition and magic surpass it in almost every way." So that leads us into, what is shamanism and how does it relate to healing on a physical and spiritual level? And you just gave a good example of a boy who was helped go through a dream and to hooking up with metaphysical healers and non-physical healers who were able to help release whatever it was in his essence that needed to leave so he could achieve a spiritual healing. There's physical, emotional, and spiritual, but you've got to work on all of them in order to truly find your way. So tell us what shamanism is.
Well, shamanism is really the pre-religious spiritual ways of ancient people, of indigenous people. It was practiced from the steppes of Russia, in Africa, in Asia, and in North America and South America. It's where someone is chosen from a village or a tribe or a neighborhood who seems to be more in touch with what isn't in the material world.
Yes.
And he becomes the one who's trained by his predecessor to take on the rituals and ceremonies to help the village in their healing and their dealing with the challenges, be it drought or flood. And the shaman is the messenger to the gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
He was looked at by the Incas. That he went out and got information that was useful for them, for the village, for his people, and for those who came to him. They were often healers, and there's many different tools and many different shades of shamanism. But there is I traveled in Africa some and extensively in Latin America, and there's a thread that goes through shamanism that is just that. Knowing that where we live in the material world is just a piece of the puzzle, that really the greater existence of the cosmos, it has many, many levels that we can't feel with our material eyes. We can't see them, we can't
mm-hmm.
taste them, but they're there. And if the stuff you talk about, if we're attuned spiritually, we can become aware of whether it's the spirits of our deceased, our loved ones, or it's the essence of a tree entity. There's so much more that we can communicate with and learn from.
Yes, like this reality penetrating ability that shamans have, healers, metaphysicians, marks them as the world's very first doctors, storytellers, mystics, and even psychotherapists. Even before there was psychotherapy, which is only like 150 years old, there were people. And shamanism, of course, comes with a great responsibility because it's not simply accessing these worlds, but they must possess the ability to transform what they have learned and experienced and bring it into the physical world to help us live a better physical and spiritual combination of life. And, it's very interesting, but you were saying villages would select someone. And I think probably almost every family has someone in the family who takes on this role. And they're different from the others, and they'll always they'll be called a sensitive kid, or this is
the
a
one who
creative
dances to
kid,
his own music.
Yeah, right,
right.
Or this is one who dances to their own tune, right? So because I guess spirit wants, 20% of the population to spread out and help the 80% who are just working more or less in the physical realm, so that they don't lose control of who they are.
I think that's been the model, at least for the last 2 to 4,000 years. I think we're moving into a time, Cheryl, where many more people are awakening to the larger reality and becoming aware that we're moving into a higher vibration on the planet. I'm very optimistic,
I
regardless of what the world
agree.
looks like.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. And that's why I have a smile on my face a lot of times when I
Good.
hear from people who I know for years who had no inkling, and all of a sudden they're
Can't.
saying things and their eyes are opening and they're like full of excitement in a new way. So
Yeah.
I kind
Isn't
of love that you just said that. But let's go on to, I believe you must have had many coincidental or mystical experiences because you just told one about meeting your wife. So tell us how they shape your understanding of this and other dimensions, and how might our listeners begin to increase their own awareness of this life and understanding of death and universal energy and the really truthful view of what life is really about?
My wife and I like to call it going with the flow. It's kind of Taoist, but it's just that we can have the best plans, and we make all sorts of goals and plans. But the universe and our day-to-day existence usually has a whole different plan, and we need to be bendable and be able to flow with that and go with that. And the more open we are to our intuition, to our telepathy, to our psychic abilities, the more likely we are to pick up the clues, because the whole world is sort of like the tea reader's teacups. If you
Yes.
look, the signs are everywhere. You just have to be able to say, what, why is that bird singing that song? Why is that grass growing that way? And you start getting messages.
Yeah,
I think
you just have to start to observe and pay
listen
attention
and
and
observe.
listen. And you know, in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote something according to what we're talking about here. And I wrote, Spirit allows us to face challenging situations that our energy, emotions, and thoughts bring into our lives and help us to see whether we're on the right or wrong track. Therefore, we
Right.
are co-creating our life by observing what is happening and how to make the best of any situation. Through our
Beautiful.
faith and thank you, through our faith and the surrender of some of our personal physical needs, we allow the universe and a higher source to help us find new ways to search and remember our already preconceived destiny and life's plan. Spirit gives us
Big enough.
all the time in the world, in this life and other lives and beyond, to find our greatest means for developing levels of infinite love and healing as evolving, compassionate expressions of the divine. So that's what you were just saying.
Is what
That's.
I was just saying, and I urge people to take one night a week and just turn off the media.
Yes.
Just one night a week, make sure they don't have TV or the internet on, and to take some time. And it doesn't matter if they pray or they meditate or they do a simple ceremony or they sing or they dance or they write. It's just a matter of getting in touch with their creative and spiritual essence and what the inner voices are trying to tell them and urge them to do. If they do that one night a week, then it starts just to grow like weeds in a garden to take over.
That's a
You
good way to
go.
begin. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Now let's go on to how might animals play their part in human awakening and higher consciousness? And I liked what you said, because a lot of people don't think of animals in the way that you expressed it. And I sort of like you, want them to be treated with great love and respect, and they help us, we help them, you know, that type of
So much so. I mean,
knowingness.
I used to think of animals. I owned a farm in Northern California when I was raising my children, and I used to think of animals as my possessions. And
Right.
somehow, owning a farm, you can't keep thinking that way because they become your friends and companions. And on my horse, I would work a very stressful job, and I would come home and just hug my horse, and there was a certain love and knowing that just reset my clock, reset my energies, so that I could go forth that evening and be productive and feel good about things. My dog would be waiting for me at the back gate when I got home. My daughter had a pet chicken called Cuckoo, who used to get out of the pen just to be with her in the yard. I mean, we really have animals, cats, dogs, horses, whatever, are here to teach us things and to support us.
You actually
And
said
we,
they have souls and they're on an
that's it.
evolutionary path just as we are.
Of their own.
They look to
That's
us
it.
for love and inspiration, and we look to them to show us
So
that
much so.
complete love from within. You know, I had a bluebird for my children when they were little, and they didn't pay very much attention to him. But every day as I walked by, I would talk to him. And he would sing a song for me. I was the only
Yeah.
one he would do that. And when he passed, and I had to bury him in the yard in a little box, I really cried for him
Oh.
because they become like a
They
living
are. They're like
part of
family.
your journey and your
No.
learning experience. So I think we want to think about animals, birds, and fish, and other moving creatures and life forms in a more loving, respectful way. They have every right to not only exist, but to thrive, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
So,
it. And we came as humans not to control the earth and nature, but to work in harmony with it.
right. I want to thank you, Michael Peter Langevin, for sharing your thoughtful observations and your passion for helping others to develop and enhance their own spiritual gifts and to become more grounded in both their physical and soul experiences. For more information and to purchase Michael and Sophia's books, go to michaelpeterlangevin.com. In summarizing today's episode from Healing from Within, we have looked within our hearts, as we always try to do when we're giving ourselves some time to reflect and to open up our minds to new ideas. And we've gone within our hearts and souls, aided by the ancient shamanic ideas that we just talked about today, to remind us that the connection between the unseen and seen worlds, or spirit and physical realities, always allow us to respect, honor, and to cherish life, no matter the challenge. We find ways to understand our emotional states of depression, loneliness, sadness, or any limitation from our childhood, and soar above all these events or personal misbeliefs to find the truth of life. Michael has studied magic, shamanic practices and principles, meditation, psychic and spiritual gifts that enable us to create lives of meaning and well-being by blending the energies of heaven and earth. Michael wrote, "I was not long ago in Latin America for 6 months. I usually am leery of shamans in tourist areas, especially a place as popular as Cusco, Peru. In Cusco, however, I became friends with Roberto. He is a native Quechuan who grew up in a village high in the Andes Mountains. After what seemed like a day's hiking, Roberta and I arrived at a huaca. We came to the first ruins. They were still fairly intact ruins, and no one was there at the time. So we stopped, and Roberto led another in-depth ritual and poured us each another glass. Then he told us of different Inca wisdoms, and after this he sent us each off, this time to revisit our lives and forgive and give gratitude to ourselves and everyone we felt we had wronged or who had wronged us. Next, we came to this sacred large rock that has been carved and shaped into sacred forms. It was almost overgrown, but had paths and shelves and carvings all over. There were now beautiful clouds in the sky, and hawks flew overhead, and it seemed there were butterflies and hummingbirds everywhere. Roberto said we had to celebrate and always move to the next level of our rebirths. And thank you, Michael. That's what you and I are doing, and many others. Michael and I would have you observe the beauty in nature, engage in meditation and travel, and learn about practices that help you to relax and know yourself in the most profound way, both physically and spiritually. So you may one day, as Michael did, journey into the world of the past and know that the values and beauty in life can be brought into the present moment through reflection, gratitude, and trust in the greater universal plan. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to so many gifted authors who experience life on a multidimensional level and share their experiences with us. Shows may also be heard on dreamvision7radio.com and webtalkradio.net. Thank you for listening.